Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Emma Mailman.
And today we are here to talk about human capital barometrics. No, this is not a college class. It's okay. Everybody's panicking right now. Like, oh my God, this sounds really complicated. It's like I'm back in college again. You're not.
It's also not a weather forecast.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I love that. At least that's a good one. I didn't think of that. Yeah. Yeah. I think Emma, at first, when I said human capital barometrics, she probably went into a little bit of like, oh, I just graduated.
Yeah, I started sweating.
Don't make me go back.
I just ended.
I'm done. Yeah. So we're here to talk a little bit about human capital barometrics. And I am not, I don't think Emma, you would say you are either, neither of us are experts on this. So that's why we have three guests with us today who I would consider to be our subject matter experts in this. And the cool thing is we are reaching out to actually three different states with this one. We're reaching out to Massachusetts, Vermont and Rhode Island today. I would say we'll just cover the whole Northeast territory, maybe even going a little bit bigger on that expansion if we can with this podcast. So I'd like to welcome our guests with us today, though. So I'm going to start with our newest guest. One of our guests has been with us many a times in the past. So I'm going to start with our newer guest. So I'd like to welcome Carla Wietrich. She is from VMAC, which is the MEP Center out of Vermont. Welcome, Carla.
Hello, and thank you for bringing us together with our other MEP partners. Hello, everybody.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Carly. And absolutely with us, we have Lindsay Brickle. I've been with Lindsay on a couple events before. So welcome, Lindsay Brickle. She is with Polaris MEP.
Thank you so much for having us here, Haley.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And definitely last but not least is our very own Lisa Oden from Mass MEP. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hey, you know, it's always a pleasure to be here with you folks. I love it.
Good. I'm glad you're here with us. So I know we want to get into this because it's a pretty in-depth conversation. And we're going to start with getting to know a little bit more about HCB is what we like to call it because we work in an industry where it's super crazy. However, before we do that, the infamous icebreaker question. I'm going to ask the question and whoever feels most comfortable in answering it first, by all means, just pop up and say it. Carla's already pointing like somebody else is doing it. It's not me. Somebody take this question. I swear it's going to be so easy. All right. So the icebreaker question is, how do you feel about this transition we've just gone through with the weather? Do you like we went from winter to summer like that, or do you need the buffer with a good long spring in between?
Who wants? I love the heat. I love the heat.
Look, and you answered first. You were pointing everybody else and you answered first. All right,
you, Carla, did give us the easiest question possible.
Carla, what's your answer then? Good for summer.
Good for summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Although, you know, I'm enjoying the light green trees still.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you're a warm, you like the warmth.
Family's from Puerto Rico. Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, okay. So you're in Vermont. Do you still have any snow up there or no?
No.
All gone completely. Yeah. And what, so temperature here over the weekend was in the 80s. How about for you? What were you at this weekend?
90. It hit 90 here.
Yeah.
I further north, that. That's it crazy. Was warmer.
Mm-hmm. What? Oh, same with New Hampshire. Man.
Yep.
What? No way. That's crazy. All right, Lindsay, how about for you then?
I'm all about the sun in the summer. I mean, I would love a nice spring and fall, but we don't get those anymore. So if I have to pick, I'm just go right to the heat.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Lise, for you.
Yeah, no, I'm good too. I was ready to move into the next season because of all that cooler weather and no sun that we were having. So, you know, bring on the vitamin D, I say. And, you know, actually I thought like March was actually sort of a nicer month than April was this year. And usually people complain about March. So I'm good to go.
All right.
Although I have heard that shortages of Freon due to supply chain complications are very hard to get by. So if you have to have your AC charged, that could be problematic right now.
Really?
Yes. Ooh,
that's, God, I've still got like, an old AC unit.
Yeah, like 500 times the cost.
Get
500, just, wow. 500.
I just had it done in my car. And yeah. Now I'm nice and comfortable in my car. Phew.
I mean, I assumed that was an exaggeration, but I haven't.
Listen, anything at this point right now, Lindsay, in your wallet feels like it's 500 times, right?
Yes, it does.
It doesn't matter if it's Freon, if it's a gallon of milk, it's 500 times.
A gallon of milk makes you want to cringe the most. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm feeling free now because of it.
Emma's putting an order in for a cow this weekend, just in case anybody, if you see her on Facebook looking for a cow, you know why.
If you see a cow going down Main Street of Worcester, that's mine. Please return them.
You definitely might want to join us in Vermont. Yeah.
I switched to goats for goat milk because it was easier to manage a goat than a cow. So
definitely.
I love this. You know what? I'm like changing my whole thought on what type of questions we need to ask into the icebreakers. Like, I'm gonna start asking questions like, so do you have animals? Because we need to know this because of our own supply chain. Like, can I just come over and get some goat milk?
Are you looking for buyers? Because yes. I'm looking for milk.
Yeah, this is great. Great content. Yeah. I love it. Ah, thanks. This is so good. I love it, ladies. What's funny is I saw this great little meme, I would say, on Facebook the other day. And it was a picture of a ruler that was in the sun. And it said, I'm sorry, but there's a full 10 inches of sunlight today. I cannot make it into work. So I was like, this is fantastic. So that's where this came from. And I also happened to look out my window in the office. And I saw a lady walking outside and I thought, you know what? I got to ask this question because some people are okay with it. And some people just don't like this complete transition. So that does relate back to human capital barometrics. People are like, yeah, kind of that barometrics part of it. It's not weather related, but let's get into Lise. Tell us about what actually is human capital barometrics.
Well, you know, that's a great segue there, Haley, because I was going to start by saying, so even though this is not about a weather forecast, there are sort of elements of the human capital barometrics that are a little bit about workforce forecast, okay? Mm-hmm. So the human capital barometrics is sort of a fancy word to say workforce assessment and engagement. And so this is a process that we are developing and we're sort of testing out and we're tweaking as we go to make it better and better all the time. For companies to be able to take a look at their workforce and to be able to really see where are they strong, where are they weak, where do they need to look at their training plans to be, you know, projecting for the future and their needs in the future and that sort of thing. You know, it's no surprise right now, everybody is looking for help and they can't find the workforce that they need. And so one of the best things that any company can do, whether the workforce is hard to find or not, in my opinion, is to at least keep training the workforce that you've got, right? Because that shows that you are interested in them and improving them and in moving your company forward in that way. And so this assessment helps you to determine how to go about doing that. It's also been designed in a way to make it accessible to any manufacturer. So, you know, you don't need to buy a software package or an online app or anything like that for this. It was all developed in Excel and everybody's got Excel and basically knows how to use it and that kind of thing. So it's a tool that has been determined for those purposes and to keep companies having a strategic point of view in their workforce.
So I know, so in saying that then, Lise, do you think that this is why it's so important for the manufacturers to have it as part of their business plan?
So that's sort of part of it. That's an interesting question, Haley, because you know, you can go into a company, and it's not just manufacturers, it's all small businesses and probably businesses across the board. And first of all, ask them, do you have a business plan? Right. And they'll all go, yeah, it's right up here. And they point to their heads. Right. So, you know, it's just not the thing that people spend their time working on. They're firefighting, they're running their businesses and that kind of thing. But what a valuable exercise to step back and take a look at that and get some stuff written down. Companies discover surprising things about their own companies when they do that process. And that's similar for this human capital barometrics assessment. This tool provides one convenient place for companies to collect all of that information about their workforce, what training they think that the workforce might need, the criticality of the position, the skill level of the person in that position. So
I guess another huge perk of that too is that since it's on Excel, they don't have to learn a brand new platform. Everything is
right.
It's not just all fresh and new all at one time. They know the platform and now they're just familiarizing themselves with what they're inputting.
Right. And so in addition to those three things, the companies are also asked, you know, what training they think that these employees need as well. Okay. And I think that a lot of times people just think, well, what training do these people need? And they don't think about the criticality of the position or the skill level or the potential for growth. And I know some people kind of, they go, ooh, potential for growth. Isn't that kind of how could you give anybody like a low score on that? But it can refer to people. So maybe somebody's retiring in 6 months. You're probably not going to commit a lot of training to that individual, for example. Okay. So there's different elements that come into these questions. But one of the key pieces of this process is also in getting the employee's input. So there is an employee survey that to get the company, it's sort of an employee satisfaction kind of survey, but also asks, what kind of training does that employee want or think they need? Because they might have ideas about other kinds of training or other ways that they want to grow within the company that the company isn't aware of. And so it opens up a rich dialogue between the company and that employee. And so when you talk about human capital barometrics, you know, in the past, we always refer to, and still currently, human resources. Well, resources are something that can be used up. They can be depleted and then replaced, right? Whereas the human capital barometrics is saying, come on, let's take a look at what we've got and let's invest in what we've got. So those are kind of two different mindsets on this. And I think that's a key thing with this tool.
I just really love the last point that Lisa made, talking about how we're maximizing the potential and making sure we're taking advantage of the skills that we have on staff, which also allows for more internal advancement within a company.
Yeah.
So I guess off of that, Lindsay, talking about the manufacturers themselves, we have the acronym WIFM. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's what's in it for me that we've tweaked a little bit for this question. What's in it for the manufacturers? So they get to see some of the internal resources they already have that they can continue to build on. But what else is in it for the manufacturers?
So right now, we hear over and over again that workforce is one of the biggest concerns, if not the biggest concern for, you know, now and moving into future years. And that doesn't, we don't anticipate that changing because of how, in terms of the amount of folks that are retiring, especially during the pandemic, a lot of folks retiring early. We don't have enough numbers to fill those in. So how do you make the most of the employees you have now? How do you identify if you have to strategically hire and you know you're not going to get 16 applicants to fill six positions? Let's figure out which are the most critical positions. Let's figure out who we have on staff that, if not now equipped to handle some of those more advanced roles, can be trained and wants to be trained to stay with a company to have a career that has a growth trajectory, that's going to be really critical for the employers. That's also a big way about diversification, like making sure folks that are coming at middle skills, production level roles, moving up in through the company to increase the amount of diversity that's among the supervisor and managerial staff, which is more of a benefit to the individuals, but at first thought, but also there is a very clear benefit to having diverse staff within a company in terms of just the bottom line. So, you know, making sure that you can identify your trainees that are going to move up with the company, make sure you know and understand who's really believes that they have the potential to move up and wants to do the work, where the big gaps are. Maybe somebody is recommending a training for themselves that is totally misaligned with their supervisor. Maybe that's just a conversation between the supervisor and the employee. A lot of things happen because of lack of communication. So this can be a tool to facilitate communication, as well as identifying future training that could come out to benefit the company and the staff and the company as a result of the benefit to the employees.
Yeah, and also perfect timing out of COVID to implement something like this too, right? So it's a way for employees to see kind of a roadmap of where they could go, but it's also a loyalty perk. So through COVID, you know, people got sent home, you had to deal with working from home and all the obstacles that faced. And this is a way to show the loyalty back, saying, you know, we're looking internal to see what we already have here. Where can we best fit employees that might be in a different area right now, but, you know, in a year or two after, you know, X, Y, and Z training can continue to move forward within the company. So as far as, you know, timing of this, I'd say it's pretty perfect coming out of such a hard time like COVID.
Yeah, we had a CNC machinist who really wanted to be a tool maker. And, you know, it turned out all they needed, they were going to be cross-training eventually. They were going to be cross-training across different departments that were prerequisite to getting this apprenticeship in tool making. But there hadn't been a dialogue before about their will to be a tool maker, you know, so they were securely on a CNC track. So this is like one example of a little thing that came to light as a result of these conversations and of completing the HCB as well as the employer surveys, which I think for us have been really beneficial to make sure that you're aligning both of those, the staff and the management.
So Carla, then moving over to you, off of everything we've heard about this, how do people get involved in the process? What is the process? Can you just touch a little bit more on that?
Absolutely. So it's a process and a framework that folks can get started right away. So one thing is to get the dialogue, the conversation going swiftly, and to focus it, because obviously retention and training and a training program, a development program is a big rock, right? And so being able to break it down into a small pebble allows people to take a bite-sized piece of it at a time. And so the process really, it can be as simple as maybe three steps, okay? So the first one would be getting an orientation to the tool itself. That can be done a little bit just by seeing the tool and also having a quick guide through it. And then the next is really starting to focus on the goals of the company, and what being able to articulate that is really important later on when you're trying to engage the company. So articulating the goals of the organization and who the organization is, how do you describe the organization to your employees? That's been a really fun question. Instead, I mean, everybody can go to the website and see what the company does, but how do you describe it to your employees? And that really starts the dialogue with one of the MEP advisors, for instance, to introduce a topic that this is not just a training plan that you're going to do to somebody, but it's actually a learning and training two-way street. So one is orienting getting just an understanding of what the tool has in it, and it's very quite simple, so it's not hard to get into. It's accessible. If you use any other tools like Google Sheets, it's also accessible in Google Sheets as well as Excel. And then the second part is focusing on the individuals. And that's, again, very interesting perspective to actually have to face the line item of a person on a line and walk through it carefully and recognizing that you're going to have, you already have conversations with that employee, or you are going to have some conversations with that employee to, again, make sure that those two things are together. And then the third piece is really connecting that into the team or to the organization. So the third step is, where does this fit? Mm-hmm. Does this fit into, for instance, the daily management or visual management? How can you make this visual with a training matrix or just people raising their hand in a stand-up saying, I'm learning or training today with Sally or Joe or whatever. And then all the way up to the strategy of the company and making the connection together through that. Does a company currently do employee reviews? Do they do development plans? And how does this fit into that? So this little piece, this tool, can be really powerful if it intersects or integrates with something you already have in place or something you're striving to develop in your organization.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you get buy-in, right, from the manufacturers and when you're talking to them? Is it hard? And if it is, what is it they struggle with?
So from my experience, we've had the most resistance in having the initial conversation. You know, oh, this is another tool, right? That's it.
Yeah.
But it's not just another tool. It's been, once we get into that initial conversation about, you know, how this operates, how it works, I've had a lot of buy-in, not just first from HR leads, and then also operations managers, companies like C-level folks. So I think getting past that initial, hey, where we can give an example of what the tool, how it's used, yeah, and then how we've been using it with companies, what we see coming out of it in terms of the employee input, and how that's been aligning with the rest of the company. Like, that's where the buy-in has really started. And then moving forward from there, companies continue to be really engaged.
This is also a tool that it's not like sort of one and done, if you will. I mean, the spreadsheet is an excellent, they can continue to use this as a workforce, you know, assessment and development tool from here on forward.
Yeah. So, I think that's one thing we always learn too. Like in any leadership role, there's always that, you know, that checking in and going back and reevaluating and looking back at what you've assessed, and then do we need to reassess again? And I don't think there's anything wrong with ever reassessing any situation that you're in every single time. So it's a great point, Lise, that it lives. It isn't a static item that can just, sure, you probably could shelf it. You know, if you really are just like, yeah, I'll just do this and see if it works. But in all, it really is very dynamic in how it should be used, from what we're hearing, from what you, in the experiences that you have all had with it. So it is something that will always live. And I like how you said too, I think Carla, when you said it's, you can use it in either or. If you are, you know, you like Excel, that's great. If you like Google Sheets, that works too. You know, it's, everybody has their own little thing. So it's, as long as you're using some type of a spreadsheet format, that's all you need, you know, and you can get that pretty easily.
Yeah. I'm excited to the year two and year three comparisons of some of our companies that we're going to meet with. Like, we've had those conversations with some of our manufacturing partners, and they're like, yeah, no, we're going to use this again. It's been really helpful. And, you know, after some of those trainings or workforce investments have taken place, or, you know, just conversations about new skills or new pathways, like, let's see how that looks. Let's see how the data looks in a year.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. We'll have to come back together in a year's time. Mm-hmm. And hear the results and see how that has worked for everybody out there.
I was just going to say, you guys just signed yourself up for another podcast. So
awesome.
I heard it. I was like, yep, noted.
This has been the least offensive medium I've ever been on. So I'm for that.
I want to just speak a little bit also to the flexibility of the tool in terms of size of company. Yeah. So for example, if you're a really large company, you might decide to just do it by department by department. You don't have to eat the whole elephant at the same time, right? You can go bite by bite, as it were. So there is a lot of flexibility. You can be a small company, medium-sized company, or large company, and it's still a great tool no matter what.
So whether you are small, medium, or large, if you are interested in this process, who should people get connected to? So I know it'll differ depending on who's answering here, but Lindsay, if you could just let us know for Rhode Island in specific, Carla for Vermont, and then Lisa for Massachusetts.
So if you're already working with a Polaris ME project manager, any of our project management team can work through the survey and get you started on that process. Otherwise, I'm a great point of entry into this, and I can do them myself, or if you have a good on-standing record with someone, we can, all of our project managers are trained in the tool.
Right. I'm going to go the same way for VMEC. If you're working with an advisor, definitely let them know that you're interested in seeing what this can do for you. You definitely can reach out to me, cwuthrich@vmec.org, or just vmec@vmec.org.
We will be able to, we'll put the information as well. It'll go in with the podcast. So when we release our podcast, you'll be able to access, we'll put in your contact information. And then that way we'll send them, direct them to your website as well. So if they have any further questions, they can get in there and be able to find it. We've touched on this a little bit, and we're starting to see more and more of it come our way as well. And we've done so many, as you guys have, you know, in the past couple of months, and hearing, I think, what the clients needed. I think it's funny because we had talked about this, I don't know how long ago it was, when we started down this human capital barometrics path. I mean, that was, you know, quite a while ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when we first started talking about this. And then who would have thought it would be such a useful piece to where we are today with what manufacturers are in need of right now, and knowing that this is a pretty, I think, an easy solution for them to be able to use. So as usual, you can always go to massmep.org, and we will have the information there. That's where our podcast lives, and you'll be able to access the information for Lindsay and Carla both as well. So we'll make that accessible for everyone. And of course, Lisa, we have a contact us section on our page, and you can just go in there and just type, what is it you want more information about? And you would just click, I would love more information about HCB or human capital barometrics, not the weather tool, but the other one. So, well, thanks, ladies. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. Hopefully, like you said, Emma said, you've already got yourself signed up for another one in a year. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we head out? Is there anything in more specific you wanted to dig into before we let you go, or no?
I think that covers it. I can't wait to show some case studies with all of our positive results after a while.
Yeah. Everyone stay tuned for podcast number two. You'll get the numbers in that one.
Here's a teaser. I was working with a company just today, and this is talk about transitions, right? Not only transitions, people are moving on to different jobs, but some who are moving into jobs within new roles within companies. And so here's a new leader. She was a plant manager, moved into a director of training and development. Okay. So of course she saw this and like called me right away. And so she thought that focusing on a particular department was a good way to go. It is a little bit larger company, little medium-sized company. And so we're helping an IS or IT manager with her transition because she's taking on different departments, more departments. So this was a perfect tool for her to get ready for her her coaching and individual one-on-ones with her team. So we walked them through her with the new training director, the HCB tool, or we call it the workforce assessment engagement tool. And so that really helped out her, had her one-on-ones from the get-go. She didn't have to have the whole thing completed, but it got her started. And then she and we have been kind of working back together, and really the new director of training and development is really getting a lot of value out of seeing how this fits into the whole company. So just using it in small departments as a larger scale, recognizing the connection between strategy, development plans, and the daily management is all really starting to fit in. So stay tuned for next time. We can do a spot on that company.
That's awesome. I think that's super cool that they should just happen to see it and was like, you know what, let's see if this is something that will work, and then reaches out to you, and then you listen and hear what their needs are. I think that's what happens a lot of times. I think, you know, we get a lot of people that say, oh, how do I become a member? Or we're not membership driven. That's not how we work as MEP centers. We're all three MEP centers, but we actually are just here just to listen. And then, you know, we're trying to provide manufacturer solutions. And that's, you know, what we do. And if this is the tool that works for you, then so be it. We can get you on that path and do it. It could be something else, but in most cases, that's just our job. We're providing manufacturing solutions in a systematic approach. And I liked it. So I thought we'll go with that one. So maybe that's what we'll go with the title on this. So yeah. Yes. So thanks, ladies. Thanks for joining us. Thanks everyone for listening to the Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.